For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. John chapter 3, verse 16. One of the most popular quoted phrases. We see it in baseball stadiums. We see it. And you often remember, for those who are Catholics, we don't know what John 3:16 is. Now you do. And what it says is that it's a cornerstone of our faith. And the struggle is we say, for my part, I think we see the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian sort of model or the doctrine of the Trinity. And yet I don't think it transforms our life at all. I fear that if we take the doctrine of the Trinity out of our Christian teaching, I don't think almost anyone would notice in our day-to-day living. Oh, really? Okay. We kind of see it as a divine riddle. Three persons in one. One Father is the Son is the Holy Spirit. And the struggle is that we say it, we assent to it, and then we go about our daily life completely untouched by the reality of who God is. So today I want to try and break it open, and it connects to what we did last week. Last week we talked about the paradox of Christianity, that the most of life is not an either or, that it's a both and. And I want to break open, because it relates to today's feast, break open this understanding of unitive thinking rather than dualistic thinking. So let me explain what I mean. It's a real challenge for us we have been so steeped in American secular society that we have become so completely sort of, I'm not word enamored, but influenced. So our entire thinking is through the lens of the American experiment, the American way of life. And it's not much different than most of Western Europe. It's really not. But if we go back a couple of centuries, there was a different understanding. And our Eastern brothers and sisters in our faith have held on to this tradition better than we have. Our modern-day mystics understand this unitive thinking, this non-dualistic thinking, better than anybody else. Or, if we're really profound sinners, we understand it. What I mean by that is that there's a paradox of our lives. If we have done something, we have broken our lives in some way by our own actions. Yet we know ourselves to be good. So we live the contradiction, the paradox that I am both good and I have done evil. I think if any AA group comes to reckoning of that, that they have often ruined the lives of their families and their friends and their own life, and yet in the AA they've come to discover themselves as goodness, good people who the Lord made good, and that they recovered themselves, their original unitive vision of who they are, profound sinners who understand the pain of life. Not the either or, but the both and. Mystics do this in incredible ways. And over the history, mystics have broken into our Christian tradition to give insight to how this Trinity works in our life, or how the non-dualistic thinking is called to work. One particular tradition that I think is worth just breaking open for a moment that's going to help us is the mystics talk about wisdom in a particular profound way. This comes out of the 11th century, 11th to 12th century, early medieval time. And it reflected the original teaching of the Trinity, which comes back from the 4th century, right? So we're hundreds and hundreds of years old. This comes from the tradition of Hugh of St. Vigo, of St. Victor, or Richard of St. Victor. They're both Franciscans, and they came with this tradition, understanding themselves in the tradition of the mystics. And what they called it was seeing with the third eye. Now, let me explain what that means. The first eye is seeing the world through the senses. So we it's natural to everyone. It's the first thing we get as a child. We see everything through what we experience through our senses. Then there's the second eye. And the second eye acknowledges everything that you see through the senses. And then this is the eye of the rational or reason, right? And it goes one step further and comes to an experience of knowledge. And it adds to the first eye, seen with this, the eye of the senses, the eye, often called the eye of the mind, if you would, or the eye of the rational, eye of reason. But then the third eye, it says that it sees with eye of faith or eye of wisdom or an eye of the heart. There's different ways, different traditions explain it different ways. So if you just say the eye of the heart, what it does, it first then acknowledges the first eye of the senses and takes in all that information. And then acknowledges the eye of the reason and integrates that as well. But then knows that there is so much more of life that is beyond what one can see and hear and feel, and even come to know with one's mind, that one can experience through one's heart and one's faith. It's actually a beautiful way to understand the Trinity, because that's the way the Trinity works. The Trinity will be Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that eye of wisdom, that eye of deeper knowing, of a sense of humility that I cannot know everything here and that I will never know. It's a complete embracing of the both and. Now, that's all great theology, but what does that mean for us here today? Well, let me suggest to you that today we're in the midst of a huge upheaval. And I don't think I need to say that. I think we know it. I mean, with all the protests taking place, I mean, there's an eruption of understanding that's coming to, there's some third eye scene going on. That they've seen the senses, they've seen the reason, they're saying, wait, hang on a second, there's something greater going on here. That this racism that we've had embedded in so many institutions needs to stop. And there's a sense that we don't know yet how to do that. And that's where the third eye scene needs to come in. We need to quote our own Bishop Oscar, we need to slow down and not act so fast. And protest, yes, but seek first to understand. And so what does that mean? Like I'm a white person. I don't know how to help and break this. I'm not even born in this country. I did not inherit the institutions. But I live here and I inherit the bounty and the burden of that. And so it is important for us, I think certainly for us as the white people, is to listen to men and women of color. Instead of jumping to conclusion of what is it that they feel, to ask, if you know black people, then ask and listen to their story. Listen with the all three eyes, not just to come to a solution. To if you know any men and women of color, is to ask them what's their experience of life. And listen carefully, not to jump to a solution, but to listen to their story. I think we need to pause and take a deep breath and listen to the stories of people. What we have experienced in these last 2 weeks is an upheaval of something that needs to happen. But we need to see with the third eye, to have gained wisdom and humility and listen to the stories so that together we can have this unitive vision. The reality is that we are one human race. Yes, many different colors, many different backgrounds. And what we believe that there is one Lord, one God. Yes, there are three persons, but there is one God. And we need to come to that unitive understanding and stop falling for dualistic thinking of this and, this both and, this and an or, but just always recognize it as a both and, never an either or. Let's start seeing with our third eye. But there will need for us to start and to listen to the stories of those who have been affected by this racism, by this bias that is embedded in our society. And only when we together can listen and then see with new eyes, we can embrace a new future together as one human race. And we as Catholics believe in one Lord, in one God, in one Christ.